You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 13, Episode 3 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. During the season, we're talking about various social issues. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about homosexuality. Let's get started. Homosexuality is a compound word that refers to the sexual relations between two people of the same sex. The Greek word homo means same, and that's why we get the term homosexuality. Sexuality or sexual activity between two people of the same sex. This is in contrast with heterosexuality, which involves two people of the opposite sex. The Greek word hetero means other or different. That's where those terms originated. But those who argue in favor of homosexuality will often argue from the standpoint that those in these relationships, well, they will say that they love one another, and since it's based upon love, then their behavior shouldn't be questioned by anyone. Instead, it ought to be celebrated. And many who defend homosexuality claim that homosexuals are born that way. And so, since they're born that way, they can't help it, and so we cannot judge them. However, this argument, while it is still common, is not quite as popular as it used to be. And there's a reason for that. And we'll talk about that more as we go into this lesson. But that's what we're talking about with in this episode, is homosexuality. Now, to set the stage for what we're talking about and why we're discussing this issue, I want us to think about some statistics that help illustrate where we are in our society regarding homosexuality. Statistic number one, among the adult population in the United States, about 1.8% identify as bisexual, and 1.7% identify as gay or lesbian. So you have this amount of the population. If you want to combine those, bisexual and homosexual, you have about 3.5%, assuming those numbers are reasonably accurate. So you have 3.5% are engaged in this type of activity, either exclusively or at least some of the time. With the bisexual, those who identify as bisexual, they would be doing it at least some of the time. So 3.5% altogether in a population of this country. The second statistic to notice is that homosexual activity puts one at a greater risk of sexually transmitted diseases. How do we know that? Well, in 2016, approximately 67% of new HIV diagnoses were among gay and bisexual men. So this is, remember, 3.5% of the population is engaged in this type of behavior, but new HIV cases, it wasn't 3.5% homosexual, it was 67% were, quote, gay or bisexual men. What we've also seen, though, in our country is that there's been an effort to legalize same-sex marriage between two people of the same sex, two men or two women. Same-sex marriage was first made legal in Massachusetts, and the first same-sex couples began to receive marriage licenses in that state in 2004. So 2004. So you have 15 years ago, that's when this began as far as a legal recognition of a same-sex marriage. And in 2015, the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage should be legally recognized in all 50 states. So 4 years ago, the Supreme Court ruled that it was not just by state-by-state basis, whether they would recognize this or not, but every state was to recognize this. And so as of 2017, 2 years after that ruling, there were approximately 547,000 same-sex couples who had, quote, married in the United States. And there will be links to all of these in the show notes, but that gives you an idea of where we are in our society regarding the issue of homosexuality. Now, what we need to ask is, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? What does the Bible teach about this? Well, the first thing that we want to do is go back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, let's read verses 18 through 25, because this is the beginning of mankind. This is the beginning also of marriage. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" So here you have the creation of man and woman. Well, then there's a conclusion that is given based upon what God made. Verse 24, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." God created male and female to complement one another. God wanted to create someone for man, for Adam, as a helper suitable for him. There was no other creature that God made that would fit this role. And so God formed woman. God formed Eve, brought her to the man. She was created to complement him, to complete him. And so they were to be partners. They were designed by God to go together, to complement one another. And this includes the realm of sexuality. And this goes into the point about marriage, that God designed marriage, as we see here in this passage, to be between one man and one woman. Verse 24, again, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Jesus cited this passage in Matthew 19, when he was asked about putting away and whether or not one was permitted to put away his spouse for just any reason at all. And in giving that answer, he first went back and made sure they understood the rule about marriage from the beginning. Because when we think about, you know, a lot of times there's controversy over marriage, divorce, and remarriage and all that sort of thing. We can't understand what the Bible teaches about divorce if we don't understand what it teaches about marriage. That's why when Jesus received a question about, well, can a man put away his wife for any reason at all, he said, you need to remember what marriage is and how God designed marriage. He said in Matthew 19:4, he answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." This is something that God has created. God has instituted marriage. It was not created by man. It was not created by society. It was not created by a government. It was created by God. It is defined then by God. And God designed marriage to be between one man and one woman. Now, we think about marriage and marriage between one man and one woman. And we talked about that was based upon what God created in the beginning with Adam and Eve. We already made the point that God made them male and female to complement one another, including in the area of sexuality. Well, the scriptures also teach that sexual activity outside of that relationship, outside of marriage, where God joins two people together in marriage, outside of that relationship, it is fornication and it is sinful. Hebrews 13 and verse 4, it says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. God expects us to abstain from fornication, to flee fornication, as 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18 says. But sexual activity inside marriage, between two people that God has bound together, that's something that's good. That's something that God has designed. So God, He created male and female. He made marriage as being between a male and a female. And sexuality and fulfilling sexual desires is to be done in marriage, marriage between a male and a female. And so as we look at this, what we're seeing here is that there is no room for same-sex marriage. There is no room for homosexual behavior. Just from what we know, what we can see in the scriptures about marriage and the passages that we've looked at so far. But in addition to that, we can look at the scriptures and see that homosexuality has been condemned by God in every dispensation. Going all the way back to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 19, we have the account of what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. And we won't take time to read all of these verses, but I encourage you, if you're not familiar with it, to go back and read Genesis chapter 19 and read about the two angels who came to Sodom. They came in the form of men. They came to Sodom. Lot invited them into his home. The men of Sodom surrounded the house. It says in verse 4, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. The city would be destroyed because of this. This is what the people of Sodom, this is the type of behavior they were engaged in. And some people will, in trying to justify homosexuality or say that, well, it's homosexuality isn't wrong. And that passage back in Genesis 19 about Sodom, that they weren't condemned because they were practicing homosexuality. They were condemned because they were trying to abuse or take advantage of these travelers, that they were not being hospitable. You could say they weren't being hospitable. You could say they were trying to abuse the people who were traveling there. That's true. But we cannot ignore the larger sin or the larger picture, what is emphasized. And we can go to the New Testament, and Jude, in his short letter, he explains to us what it was that they were guilty of. Jude verse 7 says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. They're an example of being punished for sin. What sin? Being inhospitable? No, indulging in gross immorality and going after strange flesh. The sin of homosexuality. That's what they were guilty of. Well, homosexuality is condemned by God in every dispensation. There in Genesis chapter 19, when we break up the Bible into three dispensations, meaning periods of time where God dealt with his people in a certain way. In the beginning, he dealt with fathers. We call that the patriarchal dispensation. Well, that's what Genesis 19, that's where that falls. During that age, God condemned homosexuality. During the second dispensation, the Mosaic dispensation, when God dealt with the people of Israel through the law of Moses that was given, homosexuality was condemned. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22 says, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. Chapter 20 of Leviticus, And verse 13 says, if there is a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. So in the old law, in the law of Moses, homosexuality was condemned. Now some people say, well, that's the Old Testament. We're not under the Old Testament today. That's true. We're not under the Old Testament today. We bring these up simply to show that God has consistently condemned this. And we can go to the New Testament, and we will do that, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, to show that God hasn't changed in his view of homosexuality. He has been consistent from the beginning that he has condemned homosexuality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Those who practice the sin of homosexuality cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But what this passage also says is that they can change. Such were some of you, but you're no longer doing that anymore. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says there that immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. So what is homosexuality? It's contrary to sound teaching. And we can go to Romans chapter 1, and this is another important point to remember. Besides being sinful, we can see that even if someone says, well, we're not under the old law, we've explained why we cite those passages, even though we're not under the old law, just to show that God has always condemned this. He's been consistent. But just looking at the New Covenant, the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Timothy 1, both those passages show us that homosexuality is a sin. But in Romans chapter 1, in addition to that, Paul explains that not only is homosexuality sinful, but it is also contrary to nature. Romans 1, 26 and 27, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. This is something that is unnatural, something that is not according to nature. This is not how God designed it. This is not how we naturally function. It's not the desire that people naturally have. It is an unnatural desire. It is an unnatural behavior. And so when we think about what the scriptures teach about homosexuality, homosexuality is one of several different forms of fornication. Fornication is sexual activity outside of the bounds of marriage. Homosexuality is one type of fornication. And as we saw in Romans chapter 1, it is also contrary to nature. The Bible clearly classifies homosexuality as sinful. Therefore, homosexuality is wrong, no matter how much public opinion changes on it, no matter how much people want to do this. And going back to what we saw in Genesis 19, people young and old, why was young and old engaged in this behavior? Why hadn't that population died out if they're all engaged in this behavior? It's because it's a choice. It's a learned behavior. And this is why it's not quite as popular anymore for people to say, well, people are just born that way. They know they're not. They recognize that this is a choice. This is something they choose to engage in. And the more it is accepted, and then the more they can try to convince people to just go along with it, to experiment with it, and to engage in this type of behavior, because you're not born that way. You can try it. You can experiment with it. That's why that argument will become less and less popular as homosexuality becomes more and more accepted. So what scriptures teach us that homosexuality is wrong, it is sinful, but it is something that can be forgiven. Just like we saw in that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, such were some of you. It is something that can be given up. It is something, it is a sin that people commit that can be forgiven by God, but it does require repentance. And so we need to make sure we're standing with what the Bible teaches, not going along with what society wants us to accept.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
I've written a couple of articles on this issue of homosexuality that are posted on the Plain Bible Teaching website. And you might be, after listening to this, you may want to check those out. Two articles called The Growing Acceptance of Homosexuality is the first one. And the other one is one that's titled Controversy Over Same-Sex Marriage. Both of them are linked in the show notes, so you can check those out along with the other links that I mentioned earlier. Next week, we're going to be talking about the issue of transgenderism. Until then, I hope you have a great week.